Like I said earlier, I'm glad they're using their talent for the Lord.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are lit up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Yes.
It sounds so good, but I must stay away. train is a beauty, making everybody stare. But the whole destination is the middle of nowhere. And there's a tree, and the Lord I say, the tree in the Lord, claim to the Father and His holy name. Don't go riding on that long butcher. I say, claim to the Father and His holy name. Don't go riding on that long black train. That devil is driving that long, long black train.
Amen. Hey, presentation from Skyland. And if anybody else has got a song on your heart, we certainly welcome that tonight. Appreciate them. The Bible said out of the mouth of babes have perfected praise. We'll understand more about what that means. We get to heaven, we hear the angelic choir, and we hear the youth group, I guess, of heaven sing, and we'll stand silent as we behold that blessing. I appreciate them. I really do. I wish we had more young people like Caitlin and Skyland. Paul told Timothy, he said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believer, of the believers, in word and in deed. Young people can do a lot for God. Matter of fact, it was a young boy about your age. Caitlin got me in church. Young boy. Got his drunk daddy. Got him in church. Nobody else got no song in your heart tonight? Exodus chapter number 17. Take me long. I'll tell you, I'm like Paul. I'm ready to preach. Amen. Exodus chapter number 17. And I hate to do this, but I'm going to read the whole chapter. Comment on it. But it's a short chapter. It's only 16 verses. But I want to read the whole chapter tonight. Be commenting on the whole chapter, but I won't be preaching on the whole chapter. The Bible says, and all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in, I ain't sure how to say this, repeating, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee the elders of Israel, and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thy hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah, and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? And then came Amalek and fought with Israel and ripped them. I ain't sure how to say that. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and go out fight with Amalek, tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, for he said, "Because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." I want to preach tonight on the believer's battle, and I'd like for you to pray with me tonight. Father, we thank you for the precious word of God. Lord, you said men ought not live by bread alone, but by every word proceeds out of the mouth of God. Lord, I pray thy word tonight, Lord, would not only be bread, but also, Lord, I pray it be meat tonight. And I know there are some here probably to be milk, but Lord, help us, Lord, I pray, to draw strength from thy word. Lord, I pray you'll help me tonight to break the bread of life, to be able to give unto those, Father, that are here tonight for the word of God. I know, Lord, in the hour we're living in, there's not a lot hungering and thirsting after God, but I know there are some that is. Help us tonight. Lord, whatever you do, we'll thank you and praise you. And if there be any lost here tonight, I pray, dear Father, tonight they receive the word of God, with readiness of mind. And I pray, dear Father God, tonight they take it's your word and get saved tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. The believer's battle. Now, in many ways, what we read here tonight is in similitude to the day and hour we're living in. Verse 1 tells us about Israel. They're in a journey. Says they're journeying from the wilderness of sin. They're on their way to the promised land. God promised them a piece of ground. They've just come out of Egypt. They're on their way there. And like them, so are we journeying to the promised land. Amen. I just want to comment on a few verses in these first part. I actually want to preach from verse number 8 on. But also, in that journey, they had needs, verse number 2 through verse number 4. And those needs caused them to chide a little bit with Moses. And in our journey, we've got needs also. But just like God supplied their need out of verses 5 through verse number 7, God also shall supply our need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 19. And you'd think with all the wonders that we have today, and I do look around and wonder today, why people don't depend upon God more. It's not like we got cordless phones now. We've got cell phones now. You'll be out on visitation, that thing will go off, or you'll be talking to someone about something important, that thing will go off. But they didn't have them back then. All they had back then was a staff and God. I believe probably good if we didn't have some things, amen? But anyway, with all the modern technology, we can find out what the weather's going to be all week long. We can find out when the plane, and they did back then, they planted a lot by the moon and by the season and stuff, but we can find out when to plant it, get the best outcome of the crop, stuff like that. But I looked out last night and I saw these red flashing lights. A lot of them are cell phone tires, I guess, or maybe radio tires, I don't know. But as I looked at those red flashing lights, I thought about the day and hour we're living in. And the only flashing light they had, Molly, was the light of God and the stars that God put up there that declared His glory. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. And boy, what a glory He put up there. But man has often imitated God and they put up some of their glory down here. But the glory of man can't compare with the glory of God. But I tell you, with all the wonders and all the things going on today and hour, if we're not careful, we'll forget about our need of God and the help of God. And in their journey, I believe they forgot that they needed God in that journey. Amen. So God had to remind them. And to do that, they found out there wasn't no water. You won't go too far without water. Appreciate the bottle of water, Brother Melvin. I ate some country ham this morning. I guess I've probably done drunk 2 gallons of water today, and I'll probably drink it tonight. But God caused them to remember they needed Him. And they come to Moses like he's God, and they said, "We ain't got no water." He said, "What are you mad at me for? I ain't God." And anyway, make a long story, which I do want to make it short because I want to get on with Amalek. They found out that even in their journey, they needed God. Amen. And we need to remember, Brother Melvin, in our journey,
amen,
we need the Lord.
Amen.
Paul said he could do all things through Christ that strengthened him. Jesus said in John 15, "Without me," and a lot of people are doing this today, He said, "Without me, you can do nothing."
Right.
And we was talking about that young boy announced his calling to preach this morning over at Millerfield. I'll tell you what, boy, God's looking for some men He can use. And about the only ability God's looking for is availability, because He's really interested in all of our talent. But right in their journey, Molly, then came Amalek. Amalek, he's the grandson of Esau. And he's born after the flesh. And in your journey, you'll find out your flesh, like Amalek, will fight with you about what you're doing and where you're going. This is the grandson of the one who sold his birthright for a bowl of pottage in Genesis 25:33. And he's a persistent enemy of every believer. A type of the flesh that conflicts every spirit child of God. Amen. Paul said, "I'm crucified with Christ," in Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20. He said, "I die daily," 1 Corinthians 15:31. Let me say this, "They that are Christ," the Bible said, "have crucified the flesh," Galatians 5:24. But like King Saul, we're all prone to spire a little bit of those fleshly things. God told Saul to go down and utterly destroy Amalek. Now, when you get saved, the best thing you can do is destroy Amalek. That's the best thing. And like Saul, we want to keep a little bit of the world behind us or close enough by we can get our hand on it. And it'll be just like this. It'll battle you on living for God. It'll battle you for doing anything for the glory of God. That Amalek type enemy, that old flesh, will rise up. And you'll find out, buddy, Amalek will defeat you to some degree what you could be for the glory of God. If it wasn't for Amalek, Molly, I've often thought I'd have got saved a whole lot earlier. If it wasn't for Amalek, Gayla, well, I'll never be Billy Graham, but I believe I'd be better preacher for the glory of God than I am today. But that old Amalek, that enemy of righteousness, Amalek, he's the one that Paul said, "When I would do good, evil's present with me." He's the one that when I pick up my Bible, my wife says, "Hey, they got a good movie coming on tonight." That conflict between the flesh and the spirit rises up. That Amalek. enemy. You'll have to fight with him. He ain't going to go away.
Amen.
It ain't like you can find some way out of it. The Bible tells us there's no discharge from this war. The Bible tells us the weapons of warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We got the advantage over Amalek. We got the Lord, amen. And greater is He than us, and He's in the world. But you know, it's kind of like which dog you feed. Sometimes I feed my old flesh and I get weak in the spirit. Sometimes I feed my spirit and I get weak in the flesh. Amen. And I'll tell you right now, the Lord said His strength made perfect in weakness. We mentioned a little bit about Paul this morning, about that thorn he had in the flesh. He besought the Lord thrice to remove it. And the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And He said, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul said, "I find then a law, when I'm weak, then I'm strong." But that Amalek, that battle with Amalek. Now, the day and hour we're living in, we're compromisers. We want to somehow make some kind of terms of peace with Amalek. There'll never be any terms of peace with Amalek. We want to somehow delegate some kind of a working situation. We want to, with words, somehow work this thing out. I'll tell you right now, you better put the armor on when it comes to Amalek. And Paul said, to war, good warfare, be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, a good soldier of the cross. Because Amalek, that time you think you've got him dead, he'll raise back up. That time you think it's over, here he is again. Well, here he is with Israel. You notice they're in the wilderness of sin. Then comes Amalek, and he'll fight with you just like he did with Israel. And Amalek, Moses is very experienced. And from the experience of Moses, he says we need to choose some men to fight this battle. And he organized the first prayer meeting. And the first prayer meeting proceeded from experience. Amen. Moses recognized this enemy. He knew that this enemy was going to have to be dealt with. And he said, "Let's choose out some men and let's go out and fight with Amalek." Then that victory will come from having a good warfare with this enemy. Moses here, he shows his expertise in this matter. Then this verses 10 through 12 is the picture of persistent prayer and how it will prevail in the battle with Amalek. Moses, he can't do it alone. He can't, without help, pray for the victory of this battle. And not only does he need the help of others to prevail, but so do we. Amen. I mean, I know, and I do, that I need to pray. Matter of fact, quite a few times, even this morning, on my knees, and still felt like failing in my efforts to pray. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I pray, and I think, "Well, buddy, I didn't accomplish anything, and I need to pray again." I don't know how y'all's prayer life is, but mine, I like to get down and pray and feel something on the other end. Something that I know that I've gained at least a little ground in the matter I'm praying about. Well, Moses here, he said, "We're going to have to fight with this Amalek. Choose us out some men." And he said, "I'll go pray." Moses is the first pastor of the first church. In the book of Acts, it talks about the church in the wilderness. He's the first pastor. And every pastor has to learn to pray, but every pastor needs the prayers of the church to help him to pray. I need your prayers. You need the prayers of me. And we need to pray one for another. We need to pray fervently and effectually in the Spirit. We need to pray. Me and Brother Melvin out this afternoon trying to do some business. He told me after we left the house, he said, "We need to fast and pray for him. Lost man, got cancer." He's right. I have been praying. But we need to put some feet on that.
Amen.
We need to make it a serious matter. Now, right now, it seems like, you know, it's not no urgent matter, but if you read in the paper tomorrow that this man died during the night, you'd realize how important it is to pray in the face on the head of someone that's lost. And Moses here, he's praying, but he needs some help, amen. And he's got Aaron and Ur to help him there. And they recognize the need for prayer. They see not only Moses praying, they see him as he's praying, as he held up his hands and kept praying to God, as he's holding them up. He sees Israel prevailing, and when Moses' hands get down, Father heavy, he sees Amalek prevailing. I wish we could see some of that. I wish we could see who's prevailing. I wish somehow we could get a heart that would cause us to spend more time on our knees. I've done quite a bit of praying in my life. I don't claim to be any great prayer warrior or anything. But when I first got saved, my father was a lost man. And I had an instant burden for him. He's about as hard-hearted and thick-headed as anybody I know. When I was a young man, I was very rebellious. I hated my dad, Sister Linda. And I was so rebellious, so full of hatred, because he told me what to do, when to do, and the best thing you do would do it or pick yourself up off the ground. And no chastisement for the time is pleasant, but it does bring about the peaceable fruit. They've started spanking again in schools. They've tried to decide how severe the spanking needs to be. It depends on the individual. I needed a ball bat and a telephone pole and a fence post. Some, you just need to look at them. Just raise your voice. You don't even need to spank them. And some of them, my cousin's son will headbutt the floor rather than do what you tell him. I've seen him like a goat right back and headbutt the floor. And he just sit back and let him do it. Said he'll get tired of it in a minute. I hated my dad because he was what a father's supposed to be, a symbol of authority in our home. I didn't want authority. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. Well, I'm glad that God does deal with men through dreams. One night, I had a dream about my father. I was 13 years old. And I dreamed my father was working on our kitchen stove. It was a gas stove. And I was there helping him. And as I was there helping him, something went wrong. And the stove burst into flames. And I remember looking at my father in the flames. And I saw him reach out to me, Gayla. And all of a sudden, my thoughts of my father were different. I woke up. That dream was so real. I woke up. I was literally in tears. And it was so real, Brother Melvin, I got up out of the bed and went in there to his bedroom to make sure he's still alive. He's snoring like a bear. And from that day on, everybody always said, "Boy, my dad had a good son." It wasn't that my dad had a good son. It was just I realized I had a wrong opinion of him. From that day on, Linda, it was, "Yes, sir. No, sir. Is there anything else you need me to do, Dad?" I really went through a change because of that dream. When I got saved, that dream come back to my mind. And I thought for sure, my dad's going to hell, Brother Alvis. And you can't imagine the burden I had for my father. I just got saved. It was all new. I didn't even really know what to do, but I started praying for my father. And I started asking him, "Dad, I want you to get saved. Forget it. I'm not interested," like a lot of lost people. He said, "I'm happy for you, but I don't want what you got." Well, I went one step further, Linda. I started praying and fasting for my father. I lost 40 pounds. I went down. I looked like a refugee out of a Concentration camp. All I was eyeballs with skin over it. And I couldn't stop. It was so important to me for my father to get saved. I was so convinced, Emmeline, that he was going to end up in hell. I was sure of it. And I got down fasting and praying, humbling myself before God on behalf of my father. My dad said, "What's wrong with you, son?" "Nothing wrong, Dad." I never would tell him I was fasting for him, Brother Vernon. But I run out of patience. The Bible says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage. Wait on the Lord, He'll strengthen thy heart." And I didn't have a whole lot of patience. And my patience getting thin. So I put some feet on my prayer. And I said, "Lord, I don't want my father to be able to eat or sleep until he gets saved." Now, Brother Howard, I'm praying and I'm fasting. I've lost 40 pounds. I ain't even telling nobody but me and God. And it wasn't too long, my father called me, Brother Bobby. And he said, "Are you praying for me?" I said, "Yeah, Dad, you know I am." He said, "Well, I want you to quit." And I said, "Why, Dad?" He said, "Because I can't eat and I can't sleep." And underneath my breath, I'm sitting there thinking, "Glory to God, hallelujah." But that weapon of our warfare, that's what that's talking about. It's not carnal. It's mighty through God. To the pulling down of strongholds. It got a hold of my dad. It wouldn't let him go. He said, "I can't eat. I can't sleep. Quit praying for me." And underneath my breath, Brother Melvin, I said, "Glory. Hallelujah." But then I said, "Dad, let me ask you something." I said, "Dad, if it's the other way around, and you saved, and I was lost, and you was going to heaven, and I was going to hell, and I asked you to quit praying for me. I said, Dad, would you quit praying for me? And I'm 34 years old, and for the first time in my life, I heard my father weep. With a loud, lamentable voice, I heard my father say, 'No, but take it easy on me. I ain't ready yet.'" I didn't take it easy on him. I kept praying and fasting for him, but 10 years later, he got saved. 10 years later, he called me 3 o'clock in the morning. He said, "Son, I just got saved. Just wanted you to know." I thought I dreamed it. I had to wake up the next morning, call him, make sure I didn't dream. He told me about getting saved at a guy's house. See, the Bible says the preparation of hearts of the Lord. And my dad had an old hard, callous, stony heart and a thick head like mine. And God got to dealing with him. And I'm telling you, he started pulling down those strongholds. I'm just going to guess in my dad's dreams, he started seeing the flames of hell coming up around him. He got to thinking about eternity and the devil's hell. And he got concerned about his soul and seeking a refuge. And he dreamed of Jesus. Glory to God. I believe if we started praying for lost people, I believe they'd start coming. We wouldn't have to go out in the bushes and brambles and try to drag them in here. I believe they'd start coming here. I believe they'd come in here and say, "Is there any hope for me?" I believe they'd come in here and say, "Is there anything in here that says I can get saved?" I'll tell you right now, it says all can get saved. If all will humble, if all will come, if all will call upon Him, it's His mercy.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you one thing. One man can't do it. I know y'all think Brother Eddie prays, and I do. But I'll tell you right now, I need your prayers. Because I'll tell you right now, there's a devil down here, and he wants to sift me like wheat. Amen. He wants to cause me to get discouraged down and out. He wants to cause me to think, "What's the use? You wasted time. Ain't nothing happening. It's a dry spell. Ain't no rain. Ain't no food. Ain't nothing going on. Amen. I've been through dry spells before." Makes you appreciate it. When there is a little rain. Whew. I'll tell you, Aaron and her, Molly, they saw Moses. They saw him trying to pray for this battle with Amalek. And they didn't just see him struggling. But Gala, they come over there and they helped him in this struggle. They put something underneath him to sit on. It always makes you a little crumble, have something to sit on. After a while of work, we have to stand up all day long. Nobody, not a whole lot of people can do it, but nobody likes to stand up all day. I kind of like it. Hallelujah. It don't bother me a bit stand up. I can stand up for days. I don't know why. But I like standing up. I do. But they put him down there, a rock to sit on, Brother Bobby. And then Aaron got one arm and he held it up. And Hur got the other arm and they held it up. And you know Moses was sitting down. As long as his hands are held up to heaven and he's praying, God help my boys. They're down there battling Amalek. I want you to know, Israel prevailed against Amalek. And that's why I say the believer's battle is like that. Amalek's going to come. Amalek's going to come in the front door. He's going to come in the back door. He's going to come in the side door. Amalek wants to come in and sit down with you. Amalek used to sit down with me on the pew over at Bethel Baptist Church. And Amalek sat right there with me. And I was in church, Sister Molly, but I was there in body only. I don't know if y'all be honest like me, but my mind was somewhere else. I mean, if Brother Rick had stopped and says, anybody know what I just said? I'd have looked at him like a calf looking at a new gate. Have y'all ever had Amalek sit down beside you and your mind is somewhere other than on the Word of God? Your mind is somewhere other than where you're at? That's Amalek. Amalek. He sat down beside me one time, Brother Vernon. He said, you know, nobody appreciates you here. If I was you, I'd just leave. I'd show them. I have to admit, I thought, yeah, that's right. That's show them. A lot of people do more than think about it. I come close to doing more than think about it, but I'm glad, praise God, we've got the Holy Spirit within us that brings all these thoughts that exalt themselves against Christ and cast them down and brings them under obedience to Christ. And praise God for the Holy Spirit of God that's able to help us in this battle with Amalek. Amen. Amen. You'd be surprised how many mighty have fallen. Paul told the church at Galatia, he said, you did run well. He said, what did hinder you? I saw people get up. And you'd have thought there's going to be next Billy Graham and they wasn't nowhere to be found within a week. And I saw a few that was quiet. They might have been slow bloomers, but I'll tell you what, they're steadfast. They run the race with patience. And they kept the train on the tracks, Katie and Skylin. Song about the black train. They kept it on the tracks. It ain't how fast you make it around the curve. It's if you can keep it on the track. Make straight steps for your feet. I tell you what, the path of the just is as a shining light. It shines more and more under the perfect day. We need to stay on track. Amen. Amalek will get you off track.
Amen.
Amalek causes some of those things that God hates. Malachi talks about the marriage. Let not the husband deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. It says God hates putting away. What does join together? Let not Amalek put asunder. Amalek comes in a lot of different ways. Amalek. Amalek. Don't leave room for Amalek because I'll tell you, he's always wanting to fight with the saved, with the believers, the born again. Amalek says we can have a little bit of the flesh. I don't remember. I guess it was Margaret telling me this morning that there's a church not too far from here. They've got refreshments in the church. I think it ought not be so. I think the church ought to be a holy place. I think it ought to stay holy. I think it ought to be reverenced. I think it ought to be greatly respected. I think it ought to be what it is, house of God. I don't think there ought to be Amalek in the church. I don't think there ought to be big screen TVs in the church, watch Super Bowl Sunday and eat popcorn, hot dogs. I don't think there ought to be NASCAR races on the wall. I think it ought to be holy. Because He's holy. As a matter of fact, I think it's the last commandment says, remember the Sabbath keep it holy of the first four that pertain to God. The first four commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. And remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. I think the Lord's Day ought to be holy. Now, I'm not a Sabbath observing Jew. I'm like John, I'm in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. I want to be in the house of God on the Lord's Day. I'm like the psalmist who said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I want to be in the house of the Lord on Sunday. I want it to be the house of the Lord. I want to come in, find the Word of God. I want to come in, find bread and fish upon the fire. I want to come in and feel the presence of God. I want you to know there's a difference, amen, in the house of God. And that difference is because of God. We don't need Amalek in the church, amen. Right. Amalek will ruin any church. Amalek will ruin you. Some people think you can handle Amalek. Well, I'll tell you what, if you're going to handle Amalek, you got a real fight coming. Right. Israel battled Amalek all their days. I don't know that they were ever able to utterly put Amalek out. This prayer that Moses put forth, this effort, this picture, shows persistent prayer. Then Jesus said in Luke chapter number 18 that men ought always to pray and not to faint. James said, James 5 verse 16 says, pray one for another. Paul told the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17, he said, pray without ceasing. Jesus said in Matthew 26 verse 41, he said, watch and pray. In Matthew 17 21, he said, this prayer comes by fasting and prayer. In Mark 9 24, we hear a man say, Lord, help my unbelief. I'm telling you, Amalek, I told you to have unbelief. Amalek, I'll keep you from Jesus. Amalek. We can only have victory over Amalek through prayer. That's where we've got the advantage. Moses showed he was praying for Israel in the battle. And Moses needed the help of Aaron and Hur. And by Moses, Aaron, and Hur, the Bible said, Israel prevailed over Amalek. That's good. I like it when they prevail over Amalek. But it ain't always like that. I'll tell you, the conflict is not only with Amalek, but with the flesh. And we've got to not only fight, but we've got to fight and pray while we're fighting. Amen. Amen. Moses, with the great experience he had, he sent chosen men into the battle. And then he backed them up as he prayed for them in this battle with Amalek. I'll tell you right now, I know this Old Testament. I know it's in the Bible. We think it's not relevant. We think it's old. Some churches now, they're New Testament only. They think, the Old Testament's no longer needed. I'll promise you this. Amalek is still slaying the multitudes. Amalek, people that would be here on Sunday night, been defeated by Amalek. People that would be here on Wednesday night, been defeated by Amalek. People that are here every now and then, they need to get away from Amalek! I'm telling you, Amalek won't let you do what you want to do for God. We talked to that man this afternoon, and I said, I bet you want to get saved, don't you? He said, yeah. And I said, why don't you? He said, well, I don't know. I'll tell you why he don't. Amalek ain't never going to let you. He ain't never going to let you get saved. I'll tell you what will make a difference with Amalek. If somebody like Brother Melvin said, I'll get a burden for that lost person, and they'll truly pray and fast and say, God, help them to get victory over Amalek. Now, that's easy to say, but I'll tell you right now, you'll have to have some help to do it. Thank God for Aaron and Hur. Moses recognized the need for prayer, but he couldn't do it alone. That's why Paul said, pray one for another. That's why Paul said, pray without ceasing. You don't hear a lot of preaching about prayer. You don't hear a lot of preaching about hail. But I'll tell you one thing. We're down to the day when there's a need for people to pray. You can see it in an altar call. You got lost people here. There ought to be about 5 or 10 Christians down here on this altar. Oh God, save them. The reason they ain't down here is because of Amalek. I appreciate William coming forward this morning. You know what he's doing? He's just showing you can have victory over Amalek. You say, well, it won't do no good, Brother Eddie. God said it would. Well, I've done it. Nothing happened. Keep it doing it. I'll tell you one thing. You don't need to let up in praying and fasting for the lost. Because when you hear about a lost person get saved, I was going to work one night. I stopped at Consumers filling station to get some gas. Man, I'm saved. On my way to heaven. I'm listening to King of Kings radio. Man, I got tracks laying there in the truck. Little red-headed 18-year-old John comes out there. What you need? Fill it up, John. Back then, man, I had more money than I had sense. Now I got just a little bit of sense, and it's in this pocket. John's back there filling my tank up, Molly. The Holy Spirit come in my truck and said, you need to get out and talk to John about his soul. Just for a second, there, old Amalek said, you do it some other time. And it wouldn't go away. And I started digging through my truck, trying to find the track that I thought would be appropriate to give an 18-year-old red-headed boy with a black leather jacket and a Harley Davidson motorcycle and a girlfriend. And I thought, what would be best? What would work best? That's Amalek again. Man, I'm telling you, Amalek really messed you up trying to witness. While I'm digging for that track, Molly, I finally found one. I thought this would be good for a young person. You know, it won't blow them out of the water, but at least get them thinking about drowning. I started back there to John. He's pumping my gas. He ain't even looking at the thing. I told him to fill it up. I started back there to John. He sees me coming, Brother Melvin. I walk up to John, and so help me God. I opened my mouth, took a deep breath, and before I could get a word out, Linda, a man stepped between me and John. I couldn't get a word out. I was just thinking, say, John, Lord just spoke to my heart. Tell you, he loved you. Won't you get saved? I want to give you this track. Before I could get a word out, a man stepped between them gas pumps, between me and John. Gayla, I'm not kidding you. And there he was. Couldn't get a word out. And Amalek said, talk to him next time, Brother Albus. John died that night. That night. I remember reading about it next morning. He went to a party that night. What is it about parties? Why is it all these young people got to go to a party? I did it, but I mean, what is it? Amalek, the flesh. Let's go have a good time. We ain't hurt nobody but us. It's Amalek. He goes to the party that night. He ain't hurt nobody. He's just drinking. His girlfriend's there. He's got his leather jacket on. And he's got a gun. A drunk with a gun. Imagine that. Here he is, James, that drunk, that gun, and he's waving that gun all over the place. His girlfriend said, John, put that gun up or you hurt somebody. That's logical, ain't it? Well, a drunk ain't got no sense anyways. I've been one enough, I can talk for one. And John puts it through his head, says it ain't loaded, pulls the trigger and kills himself. He died that night. God said, get out and talk to him about his soul. You say it won't do no good, Brother Eddie. It would have done me some good. His blood is on my hands. Don't tell me about Amalek. It would have done me some good. I'll tell you right now, I'll answer to God on that boy on behalf of him. I'll tell you right now, you can't wash that blood off. Don't tell me Amalek can't defeat you. I know all about it. John, at the great white throne judgment, he'll point to Eddie Wade. He'll say, Eddie, I pumped you gas. Why didn't you care about my soul? Why didn't you tell me about Jesus? What will you say? I'll be speechless. I know what I'll say. Oh yeah, I'll try to tell him. John, I wanted to. Had a track in my hand. Has it come to you, John? But Amalek stepped in between us. John went out. 18-year-old. He went out. And old Eddie Wade was left with bloody hands. That may not do nothing for you, but I'll tell you one thing I can't shake at. You may have had some episodes like that in your life. I'll tell you one thing. The believer's battle is with Amalek. Amalek, he's going to battle you all the way on your journey. You might be Canaan land, I'm on my way. But there'll be Amalek in the way. He'll defeat all your purposes. The Bible said, where there's no vision, people perish. They ain't talking about television. It's talking about like that vision Paul had in Macedonia about a man saying, come help us. We need to be saved. It's like the vision Peter had up on the rooftop, Cornelius. Go help him. We was talking about vision this morning. We need one. I wish God give you a vision of people that are out here tonight shooting up the arm. Out here tonight, don't know what to do. Sitting there trying to figure out how to take their life because they don't know Jesus. And Amalek is trying to get them in a place called hell. And here we are. Nobody's praying. Nobody's battling Amalek. Nobody's up on the mountaintop praying for the battle. Let me tell you tonight, in this believer's battle, there's a lot of casualties. We hear about the aftermath. Ain't too long ago, y'all told me about some 18-year-old girl up here. Took her life. Somebody got blood on her hands. Somebody told me not too long ago about a 30-year-old girl. Took her life. Somebody got blood on their hands. I promise you this. Paul said, I got a conscience void of offense. He said, I cease not night and day one man with tears. If you can prevail over Amalek, you can do that. And if not, you'll find that lazy boy recliner and you and Amalek will see. Somebody will tell him. Somebody will pray for him. Somebody will surely give him a track. While I sit here with Amalek. I hope the saints tonight think about this earnestly. Because I'll tell you, buddy, this is a battle that still goes on today. The type of the flesh, Amalek, and the spirit, they're contrary one to the other. The spirit truly is willing, but the flesh truly is weak. If you're going to get victory over Amalek, I'll tell you what you do tonight. You come up here and say, Lord, I've been losing this battle with my flesh, and I want some help. I'll tell you right now, the Lord will help you if you'll meet Him halfway. If you'll come up here and say, Lord, I remember one time I was praying, Molly. I didn't really mean to say it. It just came out. I said, Lord, forgive me the times I've been less and your expectations, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. I never got another word out for 30 minutes. It so hurt what I said because it was so true. He deserves more than I can give. He's worthy to receive the reward of His suffering. You'll never have any victory if you give any place to Amalek. Lord, we thank you, Father, for challenging our hearts tonight. Lord, if there's anything that needs to be done tonight, let it be done by the Spirit and the hand of God. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that the lost tonight will realize Amalek's never, ever going to let them come forward. Never, ever going to let them get saved. He's just always going to keep them thinking one day they will. I pray they'll get victory over Amalek tonight. Help us as children of God to want victory over Amalek tonight. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. I'd like to ask everybody to stand tonight. You can be a hearer or a doer. You can sit like a knot on a log. Or you can come up here and be honest tonight and say, Lord, I ain't been doing too good in this battle with Amalek. My family's at stake, my friends. You'll at least come up here and say, Lord, give me a burden. It caused me to get up in the middle of the night. I'll get down on my knees and pray for someone.
113.
You need to come tonight. But you know, God knows. I don't, but your God knew. Yes, He did. Suffer for them. Don't let Amalek win. You're going to step out and say, Amalek, I've had enough. Lord, you nailed my feet to the floor. I'm going to sit there on the do nothing list. I'm going to at least enlist and labor for God. Come on! Say the blood. I will pass over you. This ain't really an irritating high message. This is one of them that personal. If it comes to you as well as it comes to me, how's it going? You only can answer that. I'll tell you what. An old missionary wants some natives to God. He told them how to pray. He walked through the jungle. And he'd see them clean paths on them that went and continued to dwell. He saw a lot of those paths that grown up. Grown up with weeds. Why were they Amalek? Amalek called the disciples to sleep as Jesus was recognizing in the garden. Amalek! Somebody on your heart, get a burden. Burden enough, step up here and say, somebody needs to go with me, pray. I got lost up. They're going to go to hell if they don't get saved. Tell you what, Amalek, he won't let you come. Somebody lost here tonight, Amalek ain't going to let you come. Now, Amalek, bless you, Sharon. Somebody come up here for sharing tonight. I appreciate it. Now this love. Come on tonight. I tell you right now, it'll be a good night. Just come up here and share with me. I'll have enough. God bless you for sharing tonight. I appreciate Father. Lord, her obedience tonight, I don't need to know, Lord, what her need is, but I'm going to guess she's got a burden for a loved one. Lord, I want to join with her, Lord, in her prayers pertaining to a loved one, Father. Lord, we bring this petition to you by way of prayer. Lord, we know our victory is through prayer. We know that you said only by prayer and fasting, Lord, do we ever see someone, Lord, delivered. I pray, dear Father, tonight, in agreement with my sister, you said if any two of you on earth will agree touching anything, it'll be done of our Father in heaven. Lord, I pray for Sister Sharon tonight. Pray you'll bless her for her obedience. Pray, Lord, you'll grant her petition, add to your riches and glory. We promise to give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you, Sister Sharon, tonight. Who else tonight? All of the others come. This one in kind of service is no water, but it is no need to. I promise you this, Amalek ain't going to let you. You might think Amalek's just a word in the Bible, but I promise you this, he'll withstand you. The Bible talked about Satan standing at the right hand of Joshua to resist him. He's the type of Amalek. He'll resist you. Paul said, I found out that when I would do good, evil was present with me, Amalek. All right, I ain't going to wear the drum out. Anybody got a word in their heart tonight? Hope there's somebody here honest tonight. Brother Eddie, I've been having some battles with Amalek. Well, I'll tell you right now, buddy, I battled Amalek. Oh, yeah.
Oh, Brother Eddie, I ain't had no battles. I just want to thank God for letting me live high on that mountain.
Bless you, Billy.
He's coming back.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Be no more Amalek when we get over on them golden streets. Amen.
I've been watching every day for him.
Yeah.
Brother Ed, I read a little story the other day that said that this rich man actually made it to heaven.
Yeah.
Said the angel was taking him to his mansion. And they passed this one mansion. He said, is this my mansion? And the angel told him. He said, no. He said, it's your maid's. They go on up a little further and they pass another mansion and it's even bigger. He said, is this my mansion? And angel tells him, no, he said, that belongs to your driver. He goes on up the road a little way. There's this little shack, just a little shack built. And he says, this is my home? And he says, yes, it is. He said, well, it's not much. He said, well, that's all you give us to work with.
Yeah, that's true. Bible says, lay up your treasures in heaven. And that's a thought to think about. I know God's going to give us a mansion when we get to heaven. I don't really want one. I just want Jesus. I'll know more about that when I get there. Right now, I'll talk about it, but I don't really know about it. But I know one thing. One day, I'll look upon the glories of heaven, and it'll be home. And praise God for a place called heaven to know it's home. Amen. Preached about heaven this morning. Preached about heaven last Sunday night. And looking forward to preaching about heaven again. Just really, for lack of better words, I'm glad, praise God, there's a place called heaven. I'm glad Jesus made it where I could go, where you could go, and anybody wanted to go, he made it possible. I was telling that man this afternoon that God made heaven for him, and he ought to make sure he's going. God gives an invitation to all. Come live with me in heaven. Why would anybody not want heaven? I don't know. But Amalek will keep you from that.
What's his name, Eddie?
Billy. What's Billy Huckabee. Name? Billy Huckabee. Remember him. Pray for him.
I'll pray for him.
Put him on the list. Elbow Amalek out of the way. Say, I'm praying for Billy Huckabee. He almost came last Sunday. You know why he didn't come? Come on, Molly.
Amalek.
He said, I almost came last Sunday. We've got to pray for him.
Pray hard,
and
Lord lays under
him
and
pass
for him.
Pass for him.
Brother Eddie, I was thinking that spirit of Amalek, that evil influence that is so swarming the country. And not only is he there to battle with Christians, but he's also what's keeping the lost away.
That's right.
And I thought of, saw on TV how that these young people, you know, what he can come up with,
right, side track,
never think of. And these young girls, a little bit bigger than this little girl back here,
yeah,
taking cotton balls, soaking them in orange juice, and they're eating them, swallowing them, to diet. That's how they're losing weight.
Don't do that,
trying kid. To, you know. And this is the influence that this spirit has.
Right.
That our flesh, we've got to overcome that.
Right.
We must battle it. That's the constant battle that we have. And don't think that we're going to ever be free to that as long as we're in this life. You know, you can go to the altar and pray to get rid of that all you want to, as long as we are in this flesh, that spirit of Amalek is going to be their war against the Spirit of God.
Amen.
But I'm like the Apostle Paul. I thank God
that
through Christ Jesus,
that's a victory.
We can have that victory.
That's right.
I praise Him for that tonight.
Brother Vernon hit on a good point right there. Amalek says you got to look a certain, I mean, you got a stereotype, a certain image. That's what you got to be. The Lord said, He's no respecter of persons. He loves you. Listen to me. If you didn't hear none of this I said tonight, He loves you just like you are. He don't want you to stay that way. He wants you to be conformed to His image. But He loves you just like you are. That killed me one day that somebody told me Jesus loved me. I knew how unlovable I was. It gave me the edge over Amalek because I believed it. He loved me. I didn't find out till later how much He loved me. But I realized He loved me just like I was. It's hard for a lost person to realize that Jesus loves me. He loved me. He didn't leave me the way I was. But He loved me just as I was.
Yeah.
He's been pruning on me for 26 years. I went through more than one change. I don't curse no more. Don't drink no more. Don't go to places I did before. Don't have the thoughts I had before. Man, thank God that He that begun a work in us will continue to the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. He's still working on me.
Amen.
I'm a work in progress. One day that finished work, He'll put the finished work on it, Brother Melvin. Then the Bible said He's going to present us without spot, without blemish, in His presence with exceeding joy. I don't know how He's going to do it. I know that. Hallelujah on that day. Molly, we get to stand there. And He's going to say, He's mine. Father, I want you to accept them on my behalf. And for Christ's sake, not only have we been forgiven, but for Christ's sake, we'll be able to enter into the joys of the Lord. Anybody else got a word in your heart tonight? I'm full tonight. I can believe I had to shut off, shut down.
Pray for Donnie and Charlotte and Keith and Billy.
Amen.
And all the rest of the people in here.
Yeah, these things here, the Bible said angels desire to look into them. They can't. But I promise you this, you can.
Let's get down to business.
Yeah. Yeah, these things here, God offers. Boy, they're worth having. Amen. Anybody else tonight? All right. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed unless anybody's got something on their heart. Brother Vernon, dismiss us tonight, brother.
Father in heaven, again, we bow before you, Lord, to close another Lord's Day. With a grateful heart, we want to say thank you for today.
Thank you, Lord.
To be in your house once again.
Yes.
Today, for all of your blessings, your life, mercy, and forgiveness, Lord. We ask you to separate from this place tonight, that you'll deal with each other, watch over, go with us throughout the week, Lord, and I pray that you'll help us. Be what you have to do. We pray tonight, Lord, that you will continue the burden of our hearts.
Yes, please.
Put and keep a prayer on our minds and hearts, Lord, for those that are lost and saved. Help us, Lord, that we strive to be that you would have us to be. We pray for everything.
Amen.